More details have been announced of the government's plans to tighten migration laws. As had been well flagged, these include a proposed charge for residents of international protection accommodation who have paid employment. The Justice Minister, Jim O'Callaghan, said the country's population was increasing at seven times the EU average and that the revamp would bring Irish laws into line with other EU states. The latest figures show that 32,750 people are living in IPASS accommodation, 9,600 of whom are children. Just over 400 people are staying in tents. By nationality, by far the largest group are from Somalia, followed by Nigeria, Georgia and Algeria. A short time ago, Jim O'Callaghan confirmed that working asylum seekers would have to pay a contribution, no matter what type of accommodation they were staying in.
First of all, in terms of tents, anyone who has been accommodated in international protection accommodation provision, and if they are working, they will be required to make a contribution. So I'm not distinguishing, or government won't be distinguishing, between the quality of accommodation provided by IPASS. In terms of citizenship and state support, it is the case that if you, when we come to assess applications for citizenship, we will be taking into account whether or not a person was in receipt of social protection benefits in the years preceding that. And that will be a factor enabling us to determine whether or not to grant citizenship or not. As I said previously, citizenship by naturalisation is not a right that anyone has. It's a privilege that the Irish government confers on people on behalf of the Irish people. So I don't view us as blocking citizenship in any way. And if you look at the figures for this year and last year, we've been extremely generous in terms of the grant of citizenship. I think we're up to around 25,000, maybe more, this year and last.
Jim O'Callaghan speaking a short time ago. Our political correspondent Paul Cunningham has been looking at the proposed changes. Paul, can you bring us through what the government is saying this afternoon?
Well, the headline is that the population increase in Ireland is around 1.6%. And as Micheál Lahan said at the beginning of the programme, that's seven times the EU average. So the government is saying, while it's positive that you have population growth, but the rate is a worry. Currently, as it stands, we don't have a national migration strategy which would put a number on how many people we do want to come into the country, but that's due next year. Nonetheless, we do have a series of seven measures being announced by the Justice Minister, Jim O'Callaghan, along with the Minister of State, Colin Brophy, and I'll just go through them quickly. The first is changes to legislation to ensure that family reunification for those granted international protection, in other words, someone who's been given refugee status, will only be granted in cases where it can be shown they have sufficient resources to support family members. And the logic behind this is to ensure not just refugees, but beyond that, people coming in to work here, that if they are coming to work, that they are self-sufficient, that they're not going to be relying on the state. So that's a central theme coming through these measures. The second, as you said, is that residents of international protection accommodation and employment to make a financial contribution towards their own accommodation. There's a figure that last year that would account for around 7,500 people. And in the information given out, there are brackets about how much people can expect to pay. So if you're being paid a weekly income of between €97 and €150, you'd pay €15. If someone who's paying more than €600 a week, they would pay €238. So the detail is there on exactly what that is and the percentage of their weekly income. Thirdly, it says additional powers to revoke refugee status where a person is found to be a danger to the security of the state or has been convicted of a serious crime. As it currently stands, the minister can revoke the right of someone to stay if they're applying for refugee status. What they're talking about here is what would happen once refugee status has been granted. They could go down the deportation route, but that seems legally tricky, so they're going to have new powers to give the minister so they can move in that scenario. The fourth area relates to a tightening of citizenship criteria. And we're not just talking about people who are coming from or seeking refugee status, but also those who are outside the European Economic Area. That would be EU, Iceland, Norway and Liechtenstein. And basically what they're going to do is to ensure there is clear guidance on the application of good character requirements and the introduction of a requirement that applicants are self-sufficient. Once again, coming back to ensure that the state isn't going to be liable for someone coming in here. Fifth, residency requirements for people granted international protection to rise from 3 to 5 years before they can apply. So once you've been granted refugee status, you can only apply for citizenship after 5 years. That's the same way it is for workers coming in from the EEA. So there's a balancing act there. Sixth, an updated policy document which will tighten existing policy on family reunifications for most of the non-EEA residents. So we wait to see the detail on that. And finally, international protection applicants for citizenship must be self-sufficient and not in receipt of certain social protection payments within the 2 years previous before an application is made. So once again, they're trying to ensure that someone who is going to be able to stay in the state is able to look after themselves.
There's quite a lot to be teased out there, Paul, but as of now, what are the opposition parties saying about these changes?
Well, particularly when it comes to the measures related to people seeking international protection, and in particular in relation to that idea of a contribution, the left-wing parties in the Dáil are united in their view that this is simply wrong, that these are the weakest in society. For example, if you're, say, in an IPAS centre, you don't get child benefit, you live under a curfew, the accommodation can be overcrowded or you can be in a tent, you may get a meal but it mightn't be the food that you want. So in that type of situation, for someone to be earning so little, to be asking them to pay up is just wrong. And what they claim is that this is indicative of a government which is trying to effectively scapegoat refugees for a wider problem with migration. Now, the government disagrees with that completely. They say for social cohesion it would be right and proper that someone would pay. And the Minister for Justice, Jim McCallaghan, said today that he did believe when it came to people seeking refugee status, the number is too high. He said it was 13,000 in 2022, 18,000 in 2024. And yet, when you go through the system, 81% of applicants for refugee status are rejected in the first instance, 60 to 70% in lose their appeal. So he's saying this is simply too high a number and the government is obliged to act.
A couple of other things moving this afternoon, Paul. One of them in relation to the child sex abuser and former doctor Michael Shine. The Cabinet has reached agreement on an inquiry, or a scoping exercise at least.
Yes, this was being brought by the Health Minister, Jennifer Carroll McNeill. We haven't got a briefing yet in relation to this. As I understand it, that's because she is looking and speaking with some of the families involved in that who've been pressing for that outcome. But we do know that the government has agreed to a scoping exercise to be undertaken by an independent person in, as it says, in response to requests for dignity for patients on behalf of the victims and survivors of Michael Shine. The draft terms of reference for the scoping exercise will be finalised following engagement with Dignity for Patients and other relevant government departments. This will be watched by the Department of Health and Attorney General, and the independent person will report to government with the recommendations for an appropriate and bespoke response to the issues raised on behalf of Dignity for Patients. What we understand is that the scoping exercise is likely to be around 16 weeks. It will be headed up by a senior counsel. What the families want is for that to lead to a full public inquiry, but that isn't contained in what the government was deciding today.
One other much-trailed announcement expected this afternoon. This time it's the list of transport projects to be prioritised under the revised National Development Plan, something that was announced a few months back. What can you tell us?
We haven't got the detail of that just yet, but we do know that, for example, that the Minister for Public Expenditure, Jack Chambers, is due to brief his Fianna Fáil colleagues in their parliamentary party meeting tonight. It's been a big thing within Fianna Fáil that this government has shown that it delivers in relation to infrastructure. So while I don't have it now, you're going to be hearing about it pretty soon.
Paul, thank you very much. Paul Cunningham there, our political correspondent.